Over the past few weeks, we've been talking about how God has called us, how He's chosen us. We've seen in a few scriptures, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it talks about how we've been chosen. And for according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ. In Jude 1:1, it tells us that we've been called. And we saw that God, not only that He has chosen us or called us, but that He's determined a lot of things in our life. It tells us in Acts 17:26, Ephesians 2:10, that where we're going to live, when we're going to live. Works talks about works that He prepared in advance for us to do. Jeremiah 1:5, it talks about being formed in the womb, where God says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." In Philippians 2:13, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose." So I say all those scriptures to show that we know that we have a purpose. Every one of those gives us a clue and says, actually, some of them say straight out, you have a purpose, that you've been set apart, you know, and to do God's purpose. And so we know this for a fact now, that we have a purpose, that it's a good purpose, and that it's God's purpose. Sometimes this world that we live in seems to be without purpose, doesn't it? It seems almost that it's spinning out of control, but I want to assure you that God is not worried. God is not fearful. God is not unaware of everything that is going on, and God is in control. And the problem is that we have so many people in our world that have rejected God, and because they have rejected God, their lives are out of control. And because their lives are out of control, oftentimes events surrounding them are disturbing, and they're out of control. If we've accepted God's call for our life, our life doesn't have to be like that. We can walk in this wonderful purpose, this wonderful plan of God that we would call maybe destiny, that our Creator designed us for. And remember, God has plans to prosper us. He wants to give us hope. He wants us to have a future. And the last thing He ever wants to do is see any one of us harmed. Do we like to see our kids hurt? I don't think so. I don't think any parent looks forward to seeing their child hurt. And God doesn't want to see us hurt either. And He knows that the best way to prevent us from being hurt is when we walk the path that God has laid out for us, when we run the race that's already been marked out for us. If we stay on that path, things are going to run a lot smoother in our life than if we neglect God or reject God and try to go our own way. Now, if we want to be successful then and walk in our destiny, if we want to prosper, then there's something that we need. And it's a gift that comes from our Father in heaven. And this gift will empower us. This gift will give us actually supernatural abilities, make us supernatural warriors, better than the superheroes that we watch in the movies in many ways. We get to tap into a force that is more powerful than any other force in all the universe. And it can, there's that video coming up if you want to put that on. And I was thinking about this last night, about this powerful force, and then I was thinking about how the world is constantly trying to give us other ways to gain power, to gain whatever we want other than God. And sometimes it's almost, to me, the point of being ridiculous. And there's this video that's been, it's a commercial that's on TV, and every time I see it, I think, this is crazy. Can you pop it in and play it now? I'm sure many of you have seen
it. Droid DNA augmentation initiated. television expanding to a 5-inch 1080p HD display and camera. Touch acquiring NFC. Hearing evolving with Beats Audio. Wireless charging activated.
Introducing Droid DNA by HTC. It's not an upgrade to your phone. It's an upgrade to yourself.
So, this is all for a phone. You know, this guy is like, it shows his DNA, it shows the strands of DNA, it shows things going into his arms, into his head, shows stuff going into his ear. All this is happening because he's got a phone. It's the most powerful phone in the universe. This thing, you get this phone, this is the phone that talks to God. It's got to be. I don't know any other. I mean, what else could it be? It's so powerful. It gives you so much power. It changes your life. You plug it in. You're not. And it says at the end. I forgot the line, but something. You're not just plugged into a. It doesn't just plug into a phone. It plugs into your life or something like that. And it's ridiculous. The gift that I'm talking about is much more powerful than the Droid phone or anything else that you could come up with. And the gift that I'm talking about is, of course, the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1:4, Jesus, after he had already risen from the dead, he said, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So the Holy Spirit is a gift from God. The gift, it says in the Word again, is for us. It's for us, our children, and our children's children. The Holy Spirit has been promised to every believer. We have to ask. We have to seek God. But God wants to fill us with His Spirit. And this is the same Holy Spirit that now gives us the ability to answer God's call. I've been talking about accepting the call of God on our life. Accepting God's purpose for our life. Walking in our destiny. That's what I've been talking about the last few weeks. And the Holy Spirit is the one who will enable us to do exactly that. Last week we saw some of the ways the Holy Spirit helps us to walk in our destiny and fulfill God's purpose for our life. And we saw that just as the earth was formless and empty and filled with darkness before God used His creative powers, we were exactly the same way. We were formless. We had no definition, no purpose, no direction. We were empty. We had this huge hole in us that was there for God to be able to fill us up. And we were filled with darkness. We had no real knowledge of God, and we were in the darkness in a hopeless state, headed for death. But just as God breathed life into His creation, He breathed life into us through His Holy Spirit. John 6:63 tells us that the Spirit gives life. We saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11, that it was the Spirit who gives us understanding. As it is written, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him." See, even here it says, "No ear has heard." That little thing they're trying to show you, it's working inside its ear. It doesn't matter. It's not going to let you hear what's really important. "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God." In fact, it's the Holy Spirit that first convicted us of sin and brought it to our attention, made us begin to think about God and realize that we needed a Savior, that we needed someone to help us, that we were hopeless, that we were lost. The Holy Spirit's the one that did that. He's the one who awakens our understanding, the understanding of our need for God. We saw that the Holy Spirit is a teacher who will teach us all things and remind us even, when we need it, what God has revealed to us. John 14:26. "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. We saw the Holy Spirit reveals eternal truths and reveals God's thoughts. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. We can only discern these things of God, the things that come from the Spirit of God, the things about God. They have to be spiritually discerned. The Holy Spirit has to help us understand. The Holy Spirit helps us make judgments, determine what is right or wrong. 1 Corinthians 2:15, the spiritual man makes judgments about all things. I'm going through these fast because I already talked about them last week. I'm just trying to bring you back to where we were. And the Holy Spirit helps us to make judgments free from man-made restraints and instead being led by the Holy Spirit, being led by God's truth. 2 Corinthians 3:6 says, He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. We don't want to be bound up by the letter of the law. God wants us to be free. You know what? Okay, the spiritual man makes judgments of all things. And we saw also that the Spirit helps us to pray, to intercede, and He intercedes for us, according to Romans 8:26. So today what I want to do is go further and see where the Holy Spirit can help us even more respond to God's call. One very important way that the Spirit works in our life and helps us to walk in our destiny is through the different giftings that He gives us. We didn't talk about this yet, at least not in this during this time. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, it says that there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. The same Holy Spirit, who is part of the Trinity, gives at different times different things to different people. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. In verse 6, it says, there are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them and all men. And then it goes on and explains this a little more. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there's given through the Spirit. See, he keeps saying, through the Spirit, the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. So what the Holy Spirit does is He shows Himself. It says that He manifests Himself. He appears in us and through us and working through us in different ways, at different times, in different people. Any one of those gifts of the Holy Spirit can be in any one of us. There are some people that flow in a certain anointing, and that's something that seems to work with them all the time, but God can use every single one of us in any gifting, at any time, because it's the Holy Spirit who's doing it. And that's what He's trying to show us there, that there's all these different giftings, there's all these many workings, there's many different ways the Holy Spirit will manifest Himself, will show Himself, reveal Himself. There's many different ways He will use us if we allow Him. And any one of us, if we are open, can be used in any one of those ways or any other way, whatever He so determines at any given time. The Holy Spirit is not a one-size-fits-all kind of person. You know, I go to those hat stores, and they say one-size-fits-all, and I try on the hat, and I already know ahead of time it's not going to fit me. One size does not fit all. I have to go to the large things. Ever since I was a kid, I had a big head. You know? physically. And 7 7/8. I don't know if you know anything about head sizes, but it's pretty good size. And there's people with bigger, but not too many. And but so I know, I already know, like I said, the one size does not fit all. And what I'm trying to, I want you to remember, that's why I share that little personal story about the one size fits all, because God's Holy Spirit, one size does not fit all. It's always different. God's always different. We can't put the Holy Spirit in a box. We can't put God in a box. Every time we think we got him figured out, we find out we're wrong. It says the wind blows where it wills, where it may. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. You can't contain the wind. That would have been a perfect spot for another TV commercial. The kid catching air. You see that one? He goes around with the jars and tries to collect air from all over the world. So he goes out with a jar and puts a cap on it, and he's got them all listed on shelves in his home. It's a stupid little thing. It's about something about lung disease or something like that. But it's like trying to capture, you know, air and keep it in a little jar. I mean, we can't capture the Holy Spirit. We can't label him and say, okay, this is the way you're going to work now in the Holy Spirit. This is the way you're going to work. Sure, some people do have particular giftings that seem to come up a lot more often. But that doesn't mean that they can't also operate in many other ways. And that doesn't mean that you couldn't also operate in the same way they do. So we need to not limit God and not limit ourselves. It's pretty easy for us to say, well, I'm not going to limit God. But we got to remember that we shouldn't be limiting ourselves. Because what we're looking at is God in us. And if God is in us, then there is no limit to what we can do. Right? What God can do through us. He can do whatever he wants. If we are willing, God is able. It's a good way to look at it. All those giftings or abilities that we read about are the things that Jesus did when he walked on the earth. He did all those. And what did Jesus say? If you remember, he said, we'll be able to do the same and more. Jesus knew that we didn't have to be limited. He tried to tell us that. Jesus could do all those things and anything else. Why? Because it says in the Bible that he had the Spirit without limit. He was one with God. And so, see, this is the key. We can do those things when we are filled with the Spirit. And that's why in Ephesians it tells us to be filled and be filled and be filled over and over on a regular basis. God could just as easily be willing to, he could use us to do anything at all. And we could be walking around just as Jesus did, doing things, doing good. It says Jesus went about doing good wherever he went. He did all these things. And just as Jesus was doing those things, God wants us to know that, you know, this is our goal. And we're not going to become Jesus. I'm not suggesting ever that. I know we're never going to be as holy, as pure. Jesus was without sin. We've already lost, every one of us, you know. So we'll never match him in that way. But the goal, the Bible tells us, is to be perfect as I am perfect, God says. So that's our goal. That's the ideal. That's what we strive for. We put it up there and we say, that's perfection. That's what I'm shooting for. I may never get it. In fact, I know I'm never going to get it. But that's what I'm shooting for. The biggest problem God has with us is every time he starts to use us and we start to really flow in the Spirit, you know what happens? We start to think it's us. People start to think like, wow, look, you know, I'm doing really good. And everybody starts saying, wow, man, that was really great what you did there, you know. And first we always say, oh, that was God, that wasn't me. And after a while, we start to feel pretty good. And we got to watch out for that, because it's really not us. It's not us. It's God. He gives us these gifts. He gives us these abilities for a reason. And the reason is to build his kingdom. Not to build up our ego. Not to puff ourselves up. He gives us all these gifts, and he'll give us more as we prove faithful. If we use what he gives us to build his kingdom, to build his people, if we use these things for the common good. God's trying to build a people, not a bunch of lone rangers. He's trying to build a people. He's trying to bring us together. He's trying to unite us, as Donovan's been teaching in that class. He's trying to build unity amongst us. And we can never build the kingdom at the expense of others. If we start hurting others, we're not led by the Spirit of God. We're being led by selfish ambition. And every time I've seen selfish ambition in somebody, it always ends up hurting people. It never fails. When we're out for ourselves, sooner or later, we just hurt other people. And what it does is it brings, selfish ambition brings division. And God is trying to bring all things together. That's the vision of our church. It's right up here, bringing all things together under one head, Jesus Christ. That's our goal. That's what we want. That's what we should all be striving for, is to help bring people under the headship of Jesus Christ. Bring that ministry, bring that work, bring that life, bring that family, bring that marriage, bring those children, bring that teaching, bring whatever it is, to submit it to Christ, to submit it to God. To bring all things together under one head, Jesus Christ. And everything that the Holy Spirit does will always work in that vision. Always. Sometimes that means it can seem maybe contrary if there's a division, but sometimes the Holy Spirit has to remove certain things to build the unity. But in reality, everything is to build the unity of the body. That's why Ephesians 4:3 tells us, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for we were baptized by one Spirit into one body. We'll never find our fulfillment, we'll never find our purpose apart from God's people, apart from his church. We were created to be part of God's body. We can't do it alone. It's just not the way God made us. We need one another. We're interdependent with one another. And as we grow together, and as what happens then, we rise up and we become this beautiful temple, it tells us in God's Word, where God can dwell by his Spirit. And not all the giftings that God gives are spiritual. You know, we're still talking about accepting the call and how the Holy Spirit helps us. And, you know, he helps us in so many different ways. And he helps us, of course, in all the spiritual ways, every spiritual aspect. But we need to remember that the Holy Spirit doesn't just help in spiritual ways. He brings an anointing on us that's a spiritual anointing, but that then translates into working into the natural, too. Here's an example of that. In Exodus chapter 35, verse 30 through 35, then Moses said to the Israelites, see, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of artistic craftsmanship. And he has given both him and Aholiab, son of Ahizamak, of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others. He has filled them with the skill to do all kinds of work as craftsmen, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and fine linens and weavers, all of them master craftsmen and designers. And at the very beginning it said, if you noticed, filled him with the Spirit of God and then with skill. So in other words, God put his Holy Spirit, he actually filled him with the Spirit of God. He wanted to build certain things, God did. And so he put these giftings, these craft, ability to do craft and work in metals and wood and design and architectural and all these kind of things. In other words, our professions. What this is telling us is that God wants us to be using our professions, our jobs, our homes, whatever it is, that he fills us with his Spirit to anoint us to be able to do whatever we do with exceptional skill, so that we can bring honor and glory to God in everything that we do. What do we have that we have not been given by God? Nothing. We need to be led by the Spirit in all things, both spiritual and natural. In fact, the Holy Spirit, he can lead us or direct us and even protect us from danger. Acts 16:6. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. God kept them out of there. He was protecting them. He wanted to keep them out of there for that time. There was a time, I know I've shared this story before, been quite a while though, you may or may not have heard it. One time I was going to Blockbuster years ago to pick up a movie, and I'd gone to about two or three different Blockbusters trying to find some movie for our family to watch, all the kids and everything. And I went to this one over on Outer Drive and Fort Street, parked my car, left the car running and the door open, and ran up to the phone to make a quick call to tell Carol that, you know what, they didn't have it at this Blockbuster, I'm going to another one. It was our family night and we wanted to watch this movie. So I'm standing at the phone rings, Carol answers, and as soon as I start to talk to her, I'm happy as can be, I mean, no big deal. But all of a sudden, this wave of disaster, fear, panic, whatever you want to call it, this looming disaster comes across me, and something warns me, like, get out now. And so I said to Carol, I got to go, bye, and I just hung up and left, jumped in my car and took off. I didn't know what it was, but I knew that something was wrong. So I found out the next day somebody got carjacked in that lot. And I believe that it would have been me right then at that time, and that God was just warning me and getting me out of there. Because God really does guide us. He wants to guide us if we have our ears open. We have to train ourselves. We have to train our spiritual ears to listen. The Holy Spirit's also essential for us in being servant leaders. And, well, actually, you know what? Wait a minute. I got another part here I want to share. Also, the Holy Spirit will help us to go places. He'll tell us not only when to stay away from some place or to get out of some place. There's a scripture that says in Acts 20:22, and now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen there. Sometimes the Holy Spirit just put something on us that we need to go here. We need to go there. We don't know exactly why. We don't know what's going to happen when we get there, not knowing what will happen to me there, but we know we have to go. Has that ever happened to you, Bob? You felt like you had to go somewhere and something happened? I know what's happened to me. One time I got a job because I was driving down the street late at night, in the middle of the night. It was in a winter night, and I saw this guy at his car, and he was messing around with his car, and I drove right by him, not thinking anything of it, and Holy Spirit told me to go back and pick him up. I was tired, so I didn't really listen. So I kept going. I got a few blocks further, and I heard it again, go back and get him. I'm thinking, nah, it's tired. I'm just thinking it's me. And then I went a couple blocks further, and I said, all right, okay, I'll go. So I went back, and I picked up the guy. It turned out he lived way down in like Trenton someplace or something like that. So I ended up driving him home. And this was in, he was in Lincoln Park and I was going to Allen Park. That's where I picked him up. So it took me like an hour or so by the time I was there and back. But you know what? I drove him all the way there. We talked about nothing. And I'm thinking, God, why did you have me pick this guy up? He just, I guess maybe just needed a ride, you know? One block before his house, he goes, by the way, you're not looking for a job, are you? I was unemployed at the time. First time in my life I was unemployed. And I said, yeah, actually I am. And he goes, you know, they're going to be hiring at Great Lakes Steel. And long story short, about 3 or 4 weeks later, I got a job at Great Lakes Steel because I listened to the Holy Spirit right there and picked up that guy. So God really does want to lead us and guide us. And, you know, he's got these purposes and these plans, and they're just there waiting for us sometimes. These works that were prepared in advance for us to do, these gifts that he's got for us, these encounters that he's got for us, and they're just waiting to happen. And if we don't listen, we just go right on by, and we never know. We missed it. Well, could have missed out. I would have never got that job. I needed it at that time. The Holy Spirit's also essential for us being leaders, servant, especially servant leaders. You know, that's what we want to be. When we're a leader, we're supposed to be really a servant. In Acts, if you remember the story, in Acts chapter 6, brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and turn this responsibility over to them. There was a period where the apostles could no longer handle the physical responsibilities of taking care of things in the church. And so they directed the leaders of the church to raise up some deacons in that church to take care of those things so they could focus on the Word, you know, and doing the things that they knew that God wanted them to do. Jesus is a perfect example. Here he was, the Son of God, came here to the earth, and what is he? He's filled with the Spirit, and so what does the Holy Spirit cause him to do? Humble himself and become obedient, even unto death. And Jesus became a servant while he was here and served all the time. The Holy Spirit will always teach us humility and servanthood. That's part of what he does. That's part of us answering this call, accepting the call, walking in our destiny. It will always involve us being humble so we can hear from God, so we can love and worship God, as we talked about earlier in the beginning of the service. And so we can be a servant and serve others and work with others. Another great part of being led by the Spirit is the freedom that he gives us. So many Christians, when they give their heart to God, they begin to freeze up. They become what we've heard called the frozen chosen. And they restrain themselves. They restrain their passions. They restrain their loves and their likes and their dislikes. And, of course, some of those things maybe needed to be restrained. The ones that were, you know, ungodly habits or things that we might have been doing. But I'm not talking about those. I'm just talking about us restraining just who we are, what we are, who God made us to be. We start to think, well, I got to be, you know, real holy now. I got to be real tight. I got to be real, like, you know, do everything right. I won't hardly move. I won't hardly smile. I'll just be holy. Here I am. I'm holy and righteous now. You want to be like me? You know, it doesn't work that way, you know. So we become a plain brown wrapper kind of person, you know. And that's not what God is looking for. We're not supposed to be afraid to laugh, afraid to have a good time, afraid to be ourselves and enjoy life. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to enjoy life to the fullest. And he wants us to be enthusiastic, which means in God, enthus, entheos. And he wants the joy of the Holy Spirit to be just pouring out of us, because that's what's going to attract other people. And that's what's going to make our life enjoyable. God wants us to have a fire in our hearts for him and for all the things that he put in us that are there to be used for his glory. And we need to be a passionate people, not a lukewarm people. And we see that displayed in Revelation 3:6, where it says, Jesus said, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. He doesn't want us to be, you know, whimsy, you know, whitewashed, just blob, you know, mealy or measly or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, he wants us to have a passion for life and for the things that he's put in our life. He wants us to be a light to the world. And if we're going to be a light to the world, there needs to be some fire in us. In fact, God wants us to be bold. He wants us to be strong and courageous, confident in who we are in him. We don't have to be confident in ourselves. We need to be confident in God in us, in who we are in him. If we're confident in God in us, then we can say, then we can go out and we can do things that we never thought possible. Because we're trusting not ourself. I don't trust this self, but I trust God who's inside of me. Hopefully, usually, making this self do him, his work. That's the way I want it to be. That's the way we need to want it to be. That the self will be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Bum, 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 bum. God doesn't want us to be timid or shy or fearful or, you know, he wants us to just to be trusting and walking and stepping out in faith. We sang a song a long time ago. We used to sing, "Be bold and be strong." Remember, I don't know if you remember that, but it was, you know, and that's how God wants us to be, bold and strong. You know, he wants us to be men and women of courage. And he wants us to be also free from the letter of the law. You know, and we don't want to be bound up with all these man-made religious thoughts. Instead, we want to be led by the Holy Spirit. And, you know, if we're going to be, we can't be free. If we can't be free, if we can't be led by the Spirit, but we're trying to follow some religious pattern, then we're always going to feel restricted and constrained and always, you know, double checking and like always worried about, you know, things. Where God wants us to have this ability to begin to flow in the Spirit of God. And already, of course, knowing his word and the words in us, and the Holy Spirit brings that through us, but it just happens in a smooth kind of way, not like, see, am I doing wrong? Wait a minute, can I do this? I'm not sure. I'll get back to you. You know what I mean? That's not the way we want to live, you know? 2 Corinthians 3:6 says, he's made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not the letter of the Spirit, for the letter kills. The letter kills. Trying to live by the letter of the law kills us. It kills the Spirit of God in us. Not the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is the Spirit, but where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. God wants us to be free, to walk under his anointing. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. That is the anointing that breaks the yoke. That's the anointing that not only breaks the yoke in us, it sets us free, but then the anointing in us helps to break the yoke in others. And we can help set other people free. And it's under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and in that freedom that you will find inside yourself the man or woman that God created you to be. You'll never find that person who you are. You'll never find yourself. Who am I? You know, I'm just trying to find myself. Back in the 60s, that was a big thing. Just trying to find myself, man. You know, and you know, you can only find yourself in God. And that's the place when you find yourself in God, that's the place where you're going to have the exciting life. That's the place where you're going to have a fulfilled life. That's the place where you're going to find purpose and joy and love and peace, and all kinds of good things. You're going to have the time of your life in that place. And in fact, when you find yourself in God that way, the freedom that comes that way, and you find the real you that God created you to be, and you just begin flowing. You just begin flowing. Then you will become the biggest blessing to God that you could ever be. You'll become the biggest blessing to other people and also to yourself. Because you're just going to flow naturally, and the giftings and the abilities are just going to come out of you. They're just going to ooze out of you. Just like sunshine pouring out of the sun. Just like flip your hand and gold comes out and jewels, you know, and stuff. And it's like, yeah, you need some? Yeah, you need some? There it is, you know. And you're just, everything about you is just, you know, of God and just joyful and good. A little bit of an exaggeration maybe, but that's what we should be going for. That's what we need to be striving for. You'll find yourself doing things you never thought you could do. You will. That's happened to me many times, and I'm sure it's happened to most of you, I would assume, that you find yourself, one perfect example is you find yourself talking to somebody, you're sharing something about God, they walk away and you say, man, I don't know where that came from, but I wish I had a tape recorder. Because you just said some stuff that was really profound and you're trying to remember it so you can maybe write it down so you can learn from what you just said, you know? That's the Holy Spirit working in you. As a musician, sometimes, you know, you're fooling around with some chords on the guitar and you just start playing and all of a sudden this beautiful verse comes out or something and you're done. You go, man, that was good. And you try to remember it. You can never bring it back. Maybe it's a prayer you prayed. You pray this prayer and you think, wow, that's like a perfect teaching. Or that's like a perfect thing I needed to say to so-and-so. This is what I've been trying to think of. And then you try to bring it. It's not. It's because it was for the moment. It's because it was the Holy Spirit working in you and He used it for what He wanted to use it for. And now we want to start using it for all these other things. Because it's good. That's the problem that happens in all these anointings that go on in different places. This Holy Spirit moves in a particular church. Everybody flocks there and they want to take that thing and bring it back and stick it in their church. It doesn't work that way. In that church, they have to then get to the same point of opening up to God so that the Holy Spirit can move there. You just can't take the anointing from that church and stick it over here and hope you're going to catch it there. You can't run to this place and grab an anointing there and grab an anointing there and mix them all together and say, good, now I'm triple filled. You know? You have to dig in yourself and get there and meet God and let it come on you, you know? And the same in a church, the same in a community, the same in a country. When that's going on, when we're walking in that freedom, you're going to have more energy. You're going to have more fun. You're going to produce more fruit. Good things are going to come out of you, more than you ever thought possible. And then the next verse, right after that, where there'll be freedom there, it talks about the freedom. Then it shows us, and I'm almost done here, where the Spirit is going to lead us. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory. I'm going to put that together. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. See, as we begin to walk in that freedom, something happens. We walk in that freedom where we're led by the Spirit. We begin to move as the Holy Spirit wants us. We become like Christ. We are transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. You see, it's the Holy Spirit who's transforming us into the image of Jesus Christ. And the only way He can do that in us is when we let go and walk in that freedom of the Spirit and begin to move in that way. And as we do that, the Holy Spirit is making us into the image of Jesus. He's remodeling us. He's molding us. He's fashioning us into the image of Jesus in a good way, in a way that we're going to enjoy, in a way that we're going to like. We're not going to become Jesus. As I said, we already blew that many times. As we move under the anointing and the freedom, that's how it happens. When we begin moving and flowing, growing under that Holy Spirit anointing, we're changing. We're being transformed with ever-increasing glory. That's pretty cool. Even though outwardly Even though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And we're becoming more and more like Christ Jesus. We get older, we notice our body starts to fall apart, right? But hopefully on the inside, we're getting closer to Christ. Romans 8:15, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. When we accepted the call to be one of God's people, we entered into a relationship with God where we became sons and daughters of God. And the only way that we can really flow in that sonship or that daughtership, if you want to say that, is by the power of the Holy Spirit. As we walk and we live and we move and have our being in Him, and as we move in freedom, as we're led by the Holy Spirit. If I could have the prayer team come forward, we're going to close. God's got good stuff for us. He gives us all kinds of, it says every good gift comes down from our Father in heaven. The best gift of all is the Holy Spirit. And He is trying His best to get us to accept the fullness of the Holy Spirit into our lives and begin to operate and function under the influence, under the anointing of that Holy Spirit, as a body in unity, so that we can make a dwelling place where God can live by His Spirit, and where we can then bring all things in heaven and earth under that one head of Jesus Christ. See, the big picture here is it's this big picture of God bringing us all together, making us all His, making us all like His Son Christ, and bringing us to be with Him for all eternity. And we get so wrapped up in all the little things. We got to see the big picture. And a big part of the big picture is the big Holy Spirit. And He needs to be a big part of our life. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Father, we want to thank You. We thank You so much for Your Holy Spirit. We thank You for every day that You've given us, Lord God. We thank You for the fact that You did call us and that You are working in us right now, that You are changing us and building us and strengthening us, that You are transforming us into the image of Your Son, Jesus, with ever-increasing glory, that we are becoming hopefully more and more like You every day, Lord God. That's what we want. That's what we desire, Lord God. And Lord, I know our flesh fights us on this, but deep down inside, that's what we want. And Lord, we ask that You would fill us once again with Your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for an outpouring of Your Holy Spirit here today and every day in our lives, that we would be filled with Your Holy Spirit over and over and over again, and that we would walk in that freedom, that we would not feel the guilt of our past life, for there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because we've been set free from the law of sin and death. And now we have freedom because we're under the law of the Spirit. Lord, that's what we know we need. Help us to walk in it every single day, Lord God. Continue to shake us and wake us and make us, Lord God, into your image. Continue to fill us with your Spirit over and over. We thank you, Lord God, for not giving up on us. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father.